Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, then, you have before us this morning, and later on, John 12. Two female custodians is what I want to speak about this morning. Two female custodians. Two women that are mentioned in the Gospel, the two women that we read about, and there are many things that link these two women. Both are named Mary. Mary, the mother of our Lord, and Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. But not only are they linked by the same name, they're also linked by the same love, the love that they have to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're both close to the Lord. They're both loving the Savior. And both, we believe, became acquainted with one another, probably not at the start of their lives, but later on through their connection with Jesus Christ, they came to know one another. But the thought that I have in mind this morning, and which I want to share with you, is that the Gospels set them both forth as custodians, as keepers. They both kept things. And we want to think about that. Now, that's not unusual to keep things. It's part of human nature. We all keep things. Usually rubbish. We're hoarders. That's why we have attics, isn't it? And sheds and cupboards and drawers. And drawers that we would be embarrassed to open before others, because we just keep things. We store things up. We hoard. And sometimes these are broken things, and sometimes these are useless things, and very often these are unused things. But in the Christian life, in the spiritual arena, there is a commendable keeping. A keeping that is blessed. A keeping that is commanded. We keep things that we should not keep, and we lay aside things and let things go that are vital and important and that we should be keeping. This is the nature of fallen mankind. Carelessness. Keeping things we shouldn't keep and letting things go that we should keep. Carelessness can take place in the Christian life. And we're in great danger of being careless. There are things we keep that we shouldn't keep. Doesn't the Bible say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away? Don't keep that. Don't keep bitterness. Don't keep the evil speaking going all the time. Don't keep the anger and the wrath and all that malice in the heart. Those are things you shouldn't keep. Those are things you should let go. Those are things you should get rid of. Do you remember the apostle says, lay aside every weight, anything that holds you back, anything that slows your following of Jesus Christ, lay aside every weight, don't keep it, and every sin, don't keep sin. So you see, in the spiritual life, there are things we shouldn't keep, we should lay them aside, we should let them go, we should get rid of them. But on the other hand, there are things we should keep. The apostle said to Timothy, hold faith, keep faith, keep the faith, and keep a good conscience too. A good conscience is something we should keep. And because some haven't kept those things, faith and a good conscience, they've made shipwreck, they've gone astray, they've lost the way, because they didn't keep those things that they should have kept. Well, these two women kept things. And they kept those things for Jesus. And they kept those things in relation to Jesus. One kept something and never got rid of it. That was Mary, the mother of our Lord. She never let it go. And the other Mary, she kept something and she kept it for a long time. And then one day she did let it go. And it all went on Jesus. They're custodians in two different ways. Let's think about Mary, the mother of our Lord, first of all. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, the verse 19, we're told Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then verse 51, it says, his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. So the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ was a hoarder. And she hoarded up the words and the sayings and the sentences and the stories about Jesus. She kept them all. All these things that were happening at the birth of Christ, all the words that she heard, all the stories. They had this thing in common. They were all about her son. They were all about the one that she named Jesus. And all of those stories, whether they come from angels, you remember an angel met her in Nazareth at the Annunciation, and then you remember the angels that appeared to the shepherds, and then you remember the shepherds came, and then the Magi came, and all these people are coming, and they're all saying things about Jesus. And what's she doing? She's keeping them all. She's storing up the stories. And twice we're told this by Luke. She kept them. Now, how did Luke know this? How did Luke know that she had all these things in her heart? Well, it seems clear to me that he interviewed her. Luke knew Mary. The Gospel of Luke is inspired scripture. It's given by inspiration of God. It's inspired, inerrant, and to our great rejoicing, infallible. It's all true. It's all from the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit passed by Luke's personality and ignored Luke's homework. No, Luke did his homework. He went and met Mary. He interviewed her. He heard the stories from her own mouth because she had them kept in her heart. Laid them up there. And he's writing about them, and he knows she laid these all up in her heart. And so she did. The mother of our Lord. And that's why Luke tells us more about Mary than any of the other gospel writers, even more than all of them added together. Luke was impressed with the array of her knowledge of Jesus and how easily and readily she could recall it all. How the words and the sayings and all these things were still remembered, and she had let nothing slip. She had kept it all. And this so impressed Luke that he had to write it down. And he wrote it down twice. She kept them all in her heart. Every one of them. First, the main thing, of course, is what she did. Now, first of all, she kept all these things, verse 19. Everything. Not some of the things. Everything that was said, every word that was said, every story that was reported. She kept everything in her heart. And there was very much. We haven't got it all. There were so much more that Luke didn't write down. We haven't got it all. What we do have has been written down for us, and we're glad of it. It's inspired, and it's out of Mary's heart. But only some. I've no doubt that there was so much more within her heart. And that'll be part of the joy of heaven, won't it? Whenever we go to heaven and are with the saints, and we'll hear so much more, and we'll discover so much more of the story of Jesus, and Mary will be helping us in that matter. But we have some of the things out of her heart. The angel that met her, Elizabeth prophesying in her presence, the shepherds who came with the heavenly words, a Savior is born this day, which is Christ the Lord. All these things are in her heart. And what's Mary doing with them? She's writing them down. She's keeping a journal. She's writing it. Every word, everything's being written down. But not on paper.
She hasn't got notebooks and paper. She hasn't got sheepskins or reed out of Egypt. She's not writing it down literally, but in her heart, she's storing it up in her heart. And that's Luke's emphasis. In her heart. Twice he says it. In her heart. The fleshly tables of her heart. It's all written there. Verse 19. And then verse 51. 12 years later, she's still doing it. She's doing it at the birth of Christ. And then in the temple when he's 12 and he goes back to Nazareth and he grows up into manhood. All that time, Luke is implying she's storing up everything he says. And everything that's reported about him. And all the unusual incidents and stories in his life. They're all in her heart. It doesn't cease with time. She doesn't get weary of doing it. It's not something she does for a few weeks and a few months. You know, maybe we keep a journal and we do it for a few months or a year or two. And then we get weary of it and it all stops. Mary's not like that. She keeps at it. Keeps journaling in her heart. Nothing's missed. And again, I emphasize the word that Luke's used twice, verse 19 and verse 51. All. Everything. In her heart. And she didn't just keep them in her heart. Because Luke adds something further in verse 19. He says she kept all these things. That's one thing. And pondered them. That's something more. She pondered them in her heart. In the place where they are stored, in her heart, in the same place, she ponders them all. It's not just a memory. You know, we can memorize and yet not do this storing that I'm talking about. It's not just a head thing. It's a heart thing. It's the understanding and the desire and the warmth for the word. She's pondering in her heart. The warmest place. The best place. She's thinking of all these things in her heart. This idea of pondering means bringing everything together and as if each one was a counselor. And bringing all the counselors together and hearing all the different sayings and all the different words and bringing it all together to come to some kind of systematic understanding of it all. She's meditating. She's thinking. She's reflecting on it all the time. The words are coming back all the time and she's going over them and she's studying them. She's weighing them up. She's trying to learn and discover more about her son. And the words, she didn't care for anything else. She wasn't after the bad news to store that up. You know, there's people after bad news, and that's why the papers sell so well. It's full of bad news, and people want the bad news, and they want the gossip, they want all the terrible things that happen in society, and they have an attraction for that. And that's what their heart is after, to store those things up. But not Mary. She's not wanting the gossip and the slander and the sad tales and all the woes. All about Jesus. Gathering it all up. Storing it all up. Pondering over it all. Again and again. The sweet knowledge of Christ. Like a sweet in the mouth. Turning it over her spiritual taste buds. The stories of the Lord. The wonderful words of Christ the Savior. It's the kind of thing that we should do with the Bible, isn't it? With the scriptures. The words and the sentences and the stories should be in our heart. And to ponder over them, to go over them all the time. Luke brings out a remarkable contrast in verse 19. Notice the word but. He's linking us with something before. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the contrast is with everybody else. Because everybody else heard these things. Everybody else saw the shepherds and they heard the stories and they heard the sentences and they heard the words. Everybody else heard those things and they wondered at them. You've heard about a one-day wonder. You know, you wonder at it. A wee bit of emotionalism. It's all surface. Emotionalism is very fickle. It's the heart where affection is, where desire is. And everybody saw it. Oh, they were emotional. They wondered at it. It was a one-day wonder and it moved them for a day. But not Mary. She stored them in her heart. She got them into her soul. She desired them and craved them. And she lived on them and fed upon them. There's a difference, isn't there?
What the others is all surface. Emotionalism. There's not the desire, not the longing for Christ. And that's not faith. Emotionalism is not faith. Faith's in the heart. Man believeth with the heart. Not with surface emotion, but he believes with the heart. In our age, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what the Bible teaches on the heart. The heart is the seat of understanding and desire. And she wants to know Christ, the one that she brought into the world and his humanity. She knows he's special and there's more to him, and she wants to know him. And she's storing up the words with desire. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so Mary's heart has this desire, this craving for the knowledge of Christ. She keeps up everything about him. Let us quickly proceed to the other Mary. Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. In John chapter 12, at the start of the Gospels, we have one Mary keeping things, the custodian of the words and the sayings. And then at the end of the Gospel, we have another Mary who's keeping something. This Mary, this is the story of Mary's anointing of the Savior. And we read it. It's described in John chapter 12, and it runs from verse 1 down to verse 8. We focus upon the spikenard, the ointment of spikenard that she has in her hand as she comes into the presence of Jesus. This spikenard was significant in amount. It was a pound weight, which is quite a bit, and it was costly in price. In fact, it says in the text, very costly. And Judas Iscariot, recognizing the amount of it, he was able to do the figures in his head. He says this could have been sold for over 300 pence. So it was very costly. A labouring man's wage in those days would have been perhaps a penny. So you're talking about a year's work of a labouring man to be able to obtain this spikenard. Very costly indeed. And it's all poured out at the feet of Jesus. And we're told the fragrance of it fills the house. That caused quite a stir. Quite a stir in hearts. Bad hearts were stirred. And good hearts were stirred, and the heart of Jesus was touched whenever he saw this gift poured out upon him. And the Lord defended her, and in defending her, he says several things by way of defense. Verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always with you. And so he defends her. He commands her to be let alone. That's the first thing. Then he says to Judas, you have the poor all the time. And then he says, she has kept this against the day of my burying. And that's the most important argument of all on her behalf. She has kept this. This pound of ointment, this very costly pound of ointment, she kept it. She didn't spend it on herself. She didn't use it on herself. The Lord is emphasizing she was the custodian of that. She maybe didn't have much in her life. There maybe wasn't much that was any value in the house.
But this ointment was valuable, and she kept it. And she kept it for Christ. She kept it for me, he says. She kept it for my burying. Now, whenever the Lord says that about Mary, he's telling us quite a lot about her. He's telling us Mary knows a lot of things. Mary knows I'm going to die. Mary knows I'm going to be buried. She's known that for quite a while. She sat at my feet. She heard my word. She gathered up all my sayings. And gathering up my sayings, she gathered up this ointment for me.
And so the Lord emphasizes she kept. She could have wasted it. We all waste things. She could have done what Judas said should have been done. She could have sold it and given it to the poor. But no, Jesus says, she kept it for me. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. Kept and laid up. All for Jesus. And when the right time came, she got rid of it all. And all of it was upon him. So the Virgin Mary, she kept all the words of Christ and the words about Christ and never parted them, but always pondered them. But this Mary, she kept the costly ointment and pondered the day when she'd pour it all in Jesus. Just the right time. The two questions that I ask in closing. Why did they do this? Why did they do this holy keeping? And what should it teach us? Now, why did they do this, first of all? What made them do this? The Virgin Mother, collecting everything, the Mary, the ointment. What made them do that thing? The answer is very simple, isn't it? They both know Jesus is special. They both know he's a wonder. They both know he is the Lord. They believe the words that he is a Savior born who is the Lord, who is called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. They know that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Mary knows he's virgin born. She knows it. She's believed all the words about him. And she's endeared to him. She trusts in him and she loves him. And so because she loves him, she collects it all up, everything in her heart, because her heart loves him. This is natural to her heart. And so she goes over the words and goes over the stories, and it's never boring to her because she loves him. She wants to hear more and to collect more and to save more. And the other Mary is the same. She has sat at Jesus' feet also and heard the word, and she's kept the words and the sayings no doubt as well, but she's also kept this ointment. She has done that because she loves him. She knows he's going to die. She knows he's going to be buried. And she knows she's not able to be at his burial. She won't be able to do it when he's dead on the cross and buried. That's going to be in the hands of others. She knows that. And so she wants to do it now, while she can. She's kept it so that she could do it, and now's the time. Why does she do that? Why has she kept it? Because she loves him. Because he's special to her. And what should all of this teach us, congregation? Well, obviously, as Christians, it should teach us that we should do the same. If we love Jesus, we should do something similar. It should be our heart. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep. You'll be a custodian if you love me. Keep my commandments. Lay them up. And so the Lord Jesus ought to be central in our lives and in our hearts. And our hearts ought to be large to him and warm towards him. And we know we want to know him more. And how can we know him more? It's in his words, isn't it? It's in the scriptures, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in the Gospels. And we should be like Mary. In fact, we far more than Mary. Mary had, well, she had the Old Testament, and she had all these things that were happening in her life, and she had Jesus hearing his words. But we have so much more, haven't we? We have the whole story of the gospel. We have all the pictures. We have all the fullness of the Holy Scriptures. We have so much to lay up in our hearts. We have so much to search and to study and to ponder and to go over. The stories of Jesus should never bore you. But it's wonderful to hear them. Just to hear it again. Just, oh, that's so wonderful. That's the way it should be with us. Do we crave the word? Do the stories excite us? Do we turn them over in our heart? Do we ponder them? Because it's about Jesus. So do we gather them and collect them? What does the Bible say? Let thine heart retain my words. Mary's just doing what's commanded. And the Lord says, these words shall be in thine heart. Remember the psalmist David, what did he say? Thy word have I laid in my heart. I've stored it up there. Thy word I meditate. It's my meditation all the day. I've stored it up. I ponder it. There's a great warning in Hebrews epistle. The things that we have heard, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Why? Lest at any time we let them slip. Now that word slip is, well, it can be illustrated in many ways, but it's a bit like a vessel that's untied at the shore and it goes out. It goes out, it drifts out and it's gone. And brethren and sisters, all the stories of Jesus and all the words that you hear and all the scriptures, oh, endeavor not to let it slip. Don't let it slip. But give earnest heed. Keep them. Store them. And as well as keeping his words, if we love him, we'll also keep that which is costly for him. What do we keep for Jesus? Do we serve him out of love? What do we say? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? What can I keep for him? Well, you know what you can keep for Jesus? You can keep yourself. You can keep yourself pure for Jesus. You can keep your body pure for Jesus. What does the apostle say? I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Keep your body like a sacrificial offering, without spot and wrinkle. Keep yourself for Jesus, to give yourself to him. The poet said, give of your best to the Master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above, laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration, give him the best that you have. And so keep yourself pure. And then keep yourself from idols, John says, doesn't he? And keep yourself in the love of God. Yes, we have to keep the words, but we've also to keep something that's precious to us for Jesus, and there's nothing more precious than your humanity. Keep it for the Lord. Just to pour out at his feet. Now, these two Marys didn't do this in their own strength, of course. And it wasn't natural to their hearts, because they have sinful hearts just as we have sinful hearts. And it wasn't something that come
naturally, but their hearts were touched by Christ. They had such an encounter with the Lord that they loved him. They're all like Lydia, really, aren't they? The Lord opened their heart. And you must let your heart be touched by Christ. You can't do it in your own strength, these things. No. You have to bring your heart to Christ and let him touch your heart. And if you're not a Christian, you must come to him. You must come to him and let him, as it were, touch your life and your heart. And if you are a Christian, what do? Well, you keep on coming to him and let him touch your heart. We need him to touch our hearts, don't we? And may he touch your heart and my heart this morning as he touched the hearts of these two Marys. Amen.